good luck trying to get a word in during our next conversation. We have got two Titans in front of the microphone. They're also Titans on the football field. We've got former Northwestern football coach Jimmy Moose Wallace and Alan Miller. And good morning to you both.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And you've basically told them why we're here, huh? We're here because not only because it's football season, but a couple of weeks ago, we gathered at our annual event out on the lake for all the football commentators, and we selected a brand new inductee for the OTS Sports Wall of Fame. Now, we're going to let you know the criteria. I believe Ashley has how you get into this hallowed group.
So the OTS Sports Wall of Fame, it was established in 2010 and has honored a total of 23 individuals. Inductees are recognized and honored for their dedication to sports and for their contributions to broadcasting and the OTS family of stations. Accomplishments considered include on-air broadcast, civic contributions within the sports community, and sports-related statewide or national recognition.
And that guy, he checks all the boxes, the guy sitting next to me. Those of you that are watching on CN2, you see his familiar face. He spent 13 seasons as an OTS color commentator. He called over 100 games. We called him our John Madden because this is a guy who could call the plays before they ever took place on the field. He's a nationally recognized Motivational Sports Bureau speaker. He was at Rock Hill High when he was a senior. When he was selected as the team captain, he was named Mr. Bearcat and was elected class president. He's been a leader within the local area civic and sports community for over four decades. And this guy on the field as a coach won 287 games and only lost 82. That's a 71% winning percentage. Ashley, you said it right. How does the song go?
All I do is win, win, win.
And that's Moose Jimmy Wallace, our coach, our John Madden. Welcome to the OTS Sports Wall of Fame.
Thank you, sir. Very humble, very thankful, very grateful, and very appreciative.
And that's it? He's usually talking a mile a minute.
But he's talking about himself.
And that's a good point.
We're not going to do that.
I know you won't.
We're going to talk about players like Jeff Burris, who's coaching the defensive backs for New York Giants, Jonathan Joseph, who's coaching for the Houston Texans, and Benjamin Watson, who's on the SEC Network. So, you know, coaching's overrated. You got to have players. We had some teams where you only needed a bus driver. Get them to the game and let them go.
This guy right here has coached so many great players that have gone on to bigger things. Plus, he has been they talk about coaching trees. And this guy, all the local coaches around here that are doing well seem to have rubbed this guy one way or the other over the last 25 seasons. They include people like Bobby Carroll and Kyle Richardson, Bubba Pittman, Straight Heron, Benny McMurray, David Pierce. There's other ones I'm sure that you can remember, Jimmy, but it's been a great ride for you. You were at Louisville, and Lucas knows a little bit about Louisville High. You were there, won a state championship in 85. You won several state championships for the Northwestern Trojans. You were a finalist for the National Coach of the Year in 1997. He was head coach for the Shrine Bowl and the North-South Bowl. I mean, we could just talk and talk and talk about this guy's accomplishments, but he's too humble to talk about himself. But he'll talk about football, so I'm going to turn it over to you guys to grill this guy, see if he can give you the right answers.
You know what, Lucas? It's all about the team. There's no player or no coach more important than the team. And America needs team. We need to team up. We don't need to be divided. You want them to play together. You got young coaches, they worry about what plays you're going to run or what defenses you're going to run. It's the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's. And you got players. When you were there, your mom said at Louisville, you was little and you'd be asleep in the stands watching the game. I said, wow, you'd be serious? We weren't that bad, were we? But we had a running back number 22 named Wesley McFadden. And Dennis Hempel and Andre Howes, and, you know, it was a special place. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the players, them growing up and being successful and wanting to work hard and be in school every day on time. You know, you tell them, do you want to be great? And they would say, yes. Well, have perfect attendance. Be there every day. It's elite preparation that's going to allow us to win the game. What we do on Saturday, what we do Sunday after church, and what we do Monday through Thursday is going to give us a chance to win. And the thing about it, and I say this repeatedly because I think it has meaning, we were in Region 2 4A. You know, we were in there with Union, Burns, Norman, Spartanburg, Gaffney, Rock Hill, Georgia, and Auburn. Pretty tough league, son. I mean, a tough league. You know what? You forfeit your right to be average in that league.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Because if you weren't prepared, somebody's going to get hurt.
You're so right about the team aspect. But, Coach, many would argue you cannot achieve the success that you have without a great leader leading the charge. You cannot have a ship without a captain. And you have been that captain for so many young men and coaches and other officials in our community. I mean, that is not to be dismissed. And I know you put the emphasis on everyone else, and that's how you know you've picked the right person when they say it's not about me, it's about everyone else. Mm-hmm. But you are part of the secret sauce of our success here. And I don't want that to be forgotten.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But I think at the end of the day, we all know that life is predicated on relationships. We've got a different culture out there today. We went to San Antonio to the American Football Coaches Convention, and Coach Bobby Bowden walked up there with a document, and it was the social ramifications of the fatherless home. And when you think about growing up in today's culture without a daddy, I know who was in charge of our family. My daddy didn't need no police officer, counselor, and he didn't need nobody. He said, this is our place. You're going to do it my way. And your dad did the same thing. You know that. And that's critically important. You know, I remember Coach Lindbergh Moody told me one time, I was going to Louisville and he was going to Northwestern. We pulled over and had a cup of coffee, and he said, look, until the dad takes the home back over, we're in an uphill climb. And he's right. So to get them, they come to school at 8:30, 35 hours a week of academics, which is what it should be. And then from 4 to 6:30, we got to teach them how to work. You listen to Manning Kimmel every day on Straight Talk, and you continuously hear, we need people in the workforce that want to work. You know, you're not going to play football and not work. I can tell you that. I mean, I watched Northwestern this summer in June and July when it was 100 degrees, and they were out there from 8:30 to 11:30 running, training, lifting, and so were a lot of other teams. But at the end of the day, we're not going to quit living because it's hot. We might drink more water. We might practice early, practice late, or go out in shorts and shirts. But it's a great thing for young people to be on a team. WRHI is a team, and they got a great leader right here. There's no doubt about it. I know that. I watched him in action. He's very organized. I'll never forget, we were trying to book a triple header, and it was years ago when Justin Worley and Jadeveon Clowney and them were playing, and we were going to play South Point on ESPN, and we wanted really Rock Hill to play Greer. It didn't work out. And we were working with Paragon Marketing out of Chicago, and then we wanted people to go bring people. And so we wanted to play at 7:30. ESPN said, y'all don't qualify for primetime. I said, wait a minute. We got 7 Division I players in this game. Anyway, the conversation Mr. Miller called, he said, I think you need some money to get this project going. Now, how many people are going to do that? Very, very few. And I said, no, we're going to be okay. We're going to make it. And the rest is history. And who won that game? There's only one answer to that.
Northwestern.
Amen, brother. Preach on, brother.
You look scared.
But I mean, that's pretty good. His perspective.
Well, you're very kind.
That's the truth. It's absolute truth.
You know, one of the things that happened many, many years ago, and the story is told about you and Jim Ringer getting together with the city leagues and the youth leagues, trying to put together a style of playing. And can you recap that for us, and what has evolved into what we now have as Football City USA, and why it is?
Coach, I mean, you know what? I'm sitting there, and the phone rings. Coach Ringer, he said, how many people realize what happened? Jadeveon Clowney just sacked Mason Rudolph. He said, that's amazing. He's in Seabrook Island. He fell, you know, and we're trying to get him back up here. It's 230-0007. I know Stephen Stone and him have a good – but coaching out, here's what happened. Rawlinson Road had 100 players. We said, no, let's have a 7th-grade team of 40 and an 8th-grade team of 40, and more teams we have. So in this town, now you got flag football, you know, which is – anyway, we don't need to go there. But then you got 8U, 10U, 12U. You got 7th-grade, 8th-grade, 9th-grade, JV varsity. You got 10 levels of football, and they're all different because they're age-appropriate. But Coach Ring and I worked together. He would call and say, we got to go eat pizza on Tuesday. We'd go and talk, and we worked together. We were working for one superintendent, Joe Gentry, and we were working on it for one school board, and, of course, Mr. Lovelace was the principal at Northwestern. So we knew that we had to compliment each other until Friday night at 8 o'clock, and then we didn't like each other. But that was okay, too, because we were putting 8,000 or 9,000 people in that stadium. And that's how you pay the bills. It's got to happen. So anyway, we worked together, and to have a progression of teaching fundamentals from the bottom to the top is critically important. You know, we're at Louisville, we had the Lions and the Tigers. We had two youth league teams. Both of them were very, very good, and they just moved through the program. But if you start teaching tackling early, blocking early through a period of time, hopefully we can coach them and teach them how to do it. You know what I'm saying? But thank you for mentioning that, because – Coach Ringer's a great guy and a great friend, and just pray for him, really.
But I think that's what's so great about you and the legacy that you have and will leave is because you follow these players. And I have a kid who has never played for you. You've worked with him, but you have followed him. You saw something in him, and you have followed him since he was 7 years old. And you don't only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. You show them that you are trying to do everything that you're screaming and yelling and trying to coach them to do. You work hard. I mean, look at you. You're still here. You're still doing things. We see you everywhere where kids are in football pads. You work with others. You tell them, be a team. So you are a prime example of what you are telling them to do. And I, as a mom and as a family of a kid who plays football in this town, he might not ever go anywhere. That's the dream, but he might not. But he knows that he will always have you in his corner. And I know I don't only feel that way, but there's probably hundreds of other families that feel that way, and that you're leaving that legacy. So as a mom and a family, I thank you, but that is exactly why you are going on this wall.
Amen. Well,
I appreciate you saying that. Very good. You know, you go back to what we talked about earlier, the fatherless home. They need you to shake their hand. They need you to hug them. They need you to know their name. They need you to encourage them. They need you to love them. They do. I got to tell you this story. We're in Publix, and this lady came up. She said, Coach, I need help. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, my oldest son played football at Northwestern. The greatest thing ever happened to him, but I'm not sure about my youngest son. I said, why? She said, I don't know. She said, I'm a single mom. I'm working two jobs. And I said, well, you know where he's at, who he's with, what he's doing. Is he going to class? Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? And I said, it's really easy with what's going on in our culture right now. You know, you just say it. I mean, you can hide it, but say it. It's oxycodone, fentanyl, or football, which makes it an easy decision. Because you want to know where they are, what they're doing, when they come home at night, they're worn out. So they do their homework and go to bed. You know, what'd your grandmother say? If her free time is the devil's workshop.
Handiwork.
Yeah,
for
man,
sure.
We got to work.
Yeah.
And we're going to work.
Well, that is your 2025 OTS Wall of Fame inductee, Jimmy Moose Wallace. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you,
Job
sir.
Well done.
Thank you.